This morning's text is going to be out of Isaiah chapter 55. Almost didn't get it into Dot in time, but she got it posted for you. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn there, you can, or we have the word on the wall. I've entitled this message, A Most Gracious Invitation. Let's pray before we go to the word. Father, I thank you for everyone who's come out today. Lord, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts through this word. If anyone is here today who is not called upon you, that this would be a day of salvation. If any of us here are away from you and looking to come back, Lord, that this would be a day of restoration. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that he will take over and bring this text, and that you will bless this and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Isaiah 55, we're going to be reading verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I call this a most gracious invitation. At the time the prophet Isaiah was prophesying to Israel, they had turned away from God and were worshiping the Canaanite gods. And God sent Isaiah to them and warned them that there was a terrible judgment coming because of their apostasy. He warned them that the king of Babylon would be coming, that he would slaughter a lot of them. He'd burn down the city, and those he kept alive, he would take to Babylon for 70 years. But in the midst of this terrible judgment, the Lord gives them a chance to receive mercy. And I've noticed that in the prophets. He will warn his people, this is what's coming, but generally, he will also give an invitation. So he's saying, this is what's going to happen. This is what I will do if you turn to me. Now there's another day of judgment coming. We don't talk a lot about the day of the Lord in the church or the day of judgment. That's kind of a scary subject for some. Some don't believe in it. But God has promised that there is a day of judgment coming. And this time it won't be for one nation, it'll be for the whole world, for all nations, men and women alike. And the Apostle Paul warns us in the book of Thessalonians that Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty stern warning, and I believe it. As much as the prophecies of Isaiah were fulfilled, that will be fulfilled. And I don't hear that talk too much about that Jesus is coming with fire, that Jesus is coming to take vengeance. We don't like to talk about that. But the fact is that the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, said this is exactly what's coming. All through his word, God talks about the day of the Lord, and he said it'll be a terrible day. Now for those who are ready, for those who have been redeemed, it'll be a glorious day. Paul said we'll see Christ as he is, we'll become like him. But for those who reject the gospel, it'll be a terrible day. And just as God, through the prophet Isaiah, offered the nation of Israel a chance at mercy and reconciliation to him, he offers all men and women today the same opportunity. He offers us salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, if you read the prophets, you read the law, and especially if you like to read history, you will see, I told my wife the other day, that there are historical documented facts that prove these prophecies were fulfilled. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, burned the temple down, slaughtered thousands of them, and took the rest to Babylon for 70 years. And just as sure as that happened, this is going to happen. We all know the Lord's going to return. We talk about that. All churches talk about someday the Lord's coming back. But I just don't hear us talk very much about the judgments. You know, he's coming back to judge. This is settled in the Word of God. And also, God offers salvation to us, to all those who are here now. He's offering this before this comes. God offers this by faith. We are to receive it by faith, and we are to act upon it by faith. But it also comes with conditions. Now, I've said that before, and I've had people jump on me. Salvation's a gift, a free gift of grace. There are no conditions. Read the Word. And I hope by the time we're through with this, you're going to understand what I mean by conditions. Do you earn your salvation? No. Does God place conditions on it? Yes. Yes, he does. So let's break down this passage from Isaiah and look at it and see what the scriptures had to say then and what they say now, if you'll allow that. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The writer of Hebrews says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Many people in Isaiah's day did not listen to his warning, and they had false prophets, false preachers, saying everything's fine, nothing's going to happen, God's not going to do this, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, they were wrong. And some of those people found out too late. And the writer of Hebrews encourages us and warns us today not to harden your hearts against the Spirit of God. It is a dangerous game that many people play who will read the Word of God or who might come to church on Sundays to hear the Word of God preached and will say, well, maybe tomorrow I'll call on the Lord. Maybe next Sunday I'll come forward. You may not have tomorrow. That's a fact. You all know I spent 6 years as a firefighter, worked for ambulance, EMS, and something I learned quick, fast, and in a hurry, none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. Nobody. That's a sad fact of life. When the Spirit of God convicts you of the Word, the Bible says today is the day to respond. You may not have another day. The scriptures say, he who hardens his heart, being often reproved, will be cut off suddenly without remedy. There's another scripture where God says, there will be a point, I won't hear you. It's a dangerous thing to play that game with the Lord. Well, maybe tomorrow. I remember one young lady I was witnessing to one time said, look, when I've had all my fun, when I've done all my partying, when I've got everything out of the way, then I'll become a Christian. I said, are you sure you're going to live that long? Well, yeah. Okay. That's your chance. So the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, seek me while I may be found. Paul told the group on Mars Hills that God has commanded all people everywhere to seek him, though he's not far from any one of us. So God said, I'm here. You need to look for me. You need to seek me. You think about it. He gave us his word. He gave us his son on the cross. We just celebrated the Lord's Supper. He's done everything that he can for our salvation. And God said, now you got to come to me. I came to you. I came to you through the prophets. I came to you through my son. I sent my only son to the cross to die for you so you could be forgiven and reconciled. Now you're responsible to come to me. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. James tells us that sin is conceived in the mind. And our minds, Paul said, must be renewed and transformed. God has given his written word so that those who read it may understand what is acceptable to God and what is not acceptable. I was talking to my wife this morning. We were talking about this, and I said, all the way back to Eden, God gave the man and woman one commandment. A moron could have memorized it. Do not eat off of that tree or you will die. And I said, how did Satan begin his conversation with Eve? Did God really say? I said they had no written word, no need of it. They had an oral commandment, but it was the word. God spoke it was the word, and Satan said, did God really say? We all know. He said, well, yeah, that's what he said. Then what did he do? Well, that's not what it means. Why do you think the word of God is under such attack, church, and has been for centuries? Satan has not changed his M.O. Well, the Bible says, yeah, but is that really what it says? Well, I know the Bible says that, but it doesn't really mean that. You know, you can't take it literally. God said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Paul said, when you come to Christ, when you become a believer through faith in the gospel that's been preached, that's been taught, that you've read, what's he say? Don't be conformed to this world anymore. Let your mind be transformed and renewed. How? By the word. It is sad that so many of God's people prefer the light of their television to the light of the Word of God. And I'm not up here saying get rid of your television. I'm just saying, where do you spend the majority of your time? It seems, God help us, sometimes we have people in church will come to Christ and we'll slap them on the back and say, praise God, you're a Christian. Now you're on your own. That's not what the Lord said. What did he say? Make disciples. Teach them. That's what I endeavor to do every Sunday. I know that's what others in this church are endeavoring to do. We're here to teach the Word of God. But God doesn't take it and shove it down your throat. You have to receive it. You have to accept it. You have to believe it's the Word of God. And you have to act upon it. James said, if you're just hearers of the word and not doers, you are deceiving yourselves. Satan doesn't have to deceive you. You're self-deceived if you don't do what God has said to do. He said, let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This just blows me away, and that's my terminology. When I read in the midst of all this idol worship, some of them were sacrificing children to the Canaanite gods. And in all of this, God said, come back. That's why I call this a most gracious invitation. God had every right and could have said, I'm done. You're done. But he doesn't. Because the heart of God is love, he was still reaching out to this rebellious people and saying, come back. Come back to me. For I will abundantly pardon. The Lord has promised us that he will be merciful toward our iniquities and will remember our sins no more. Do you believe that? I do too, but you know, sometimes that's hard for me to get a hold of. I've talked to people over the years who have said to me, you don't know what I've done. How could God forgive someone like me? I've shared with you in some of my testimony that I believed I myself was beyond redemption. I literally believed God was done with Rick Johnson. He didn't want anything to do. Rick used to go to church. Rick had been baptized. Rick used to read the Bible. He used to take his Bible to school and tell the other kids they was all going to hell because they wasn't baptized. Yeah, that's all I knew, but that's what I was telling folk. One day the principal said, if you bring that Bible to school again and start preaching, I'm going to take my paddle to you. And I remember I said, the Apostle Paul said, I count it all joy to be persecuted for the Lord. He said, the paddle's right there. Do you want to get persecuted right now? No, not really. You know, Paul might count it joy, but Rick didn't think a whole lot of it at that time. And I walked away from all that, got into the drugs and everything. And I honestly believed I'm unredeemable. I walked away from the church. I walked away from God. And God's done with me. He doesn't want anything else to do with me. I believe that with all my heart. So I understand when people tell me, I don't see how God can forgive me. You don't know what I've done. How could he forgive someone like me? What did the Lord say through the prophet Isaiah? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Paul talked about the depth of the mystery of God, the love of God. That he could love like that. And I could say to him, I don't see how you could forgive me. God say, I don't think like you do. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what that says to a simple person like me? God said, you don't have to understand it. You don't have to comprehend it. You don't have to be able to explain it. Just understand that I'm so much higher than you. It may not make any sense to you, but I'm sure glad the offer's there. I'm sure glad I got a God that says, I'll pardon you. I'll forgive you. You know what I figured out after I came to Christ? That was that devil for years telling me, God's done. Don't even try. He didn't want me to get saved. I was one of his right-hand men. He didn't want me to come to Christ. He didn't want me to be pulled out of the kingdom of darkness and plucked and planted into the kingdom of the light of the Son of God's love. He didn't want me there. So he lied to me. You're done. Ain't no way God can forgive somebody like you. Nobody's ever heard all my testimony, and no one ever will. There's things in my past I want to leave there. I don't ever want to talk about again. I carry a lot of scars, church, but I'm forgiven. That I know. I'm forgiven. For those who will listen and accept God's offer of salvation, he promises to give a new heart and a new life. He has left us his blessed word, the scriptures. But we have to obey it. As I said, if you just hear the word and don't do it, you're self-deceived. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees one day, and he said, you know, you guys diligently study the Bible, And they did. They'd memorize whole books. We feel good if we memorize 4 or 5 verses. I've memorized the 23rd Psalm. These guys would memorize the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Numbers. How many in here has done that? Now, what did Jesus say to them? You think that those scriptures, by reading them, that you'll have eternal life? He said, they're the ones that testify about me, but you won't come to me. How sad. So when I talk about the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, that's exactly what the Word teaches. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to apply it to our lives, receive it, and receive it by faith. God's talking to me. You know, he's not talking to Brother so-and-so over there. He's talking to me. That's how I have to accept it. God says about his word, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. I told my wife this morning, the Word of God's either going to do 2 things. It's either going to condemn you, or you'll have eternal life. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, I'm not going to judge you. The words that I speak will judge you. You cannot get any more clear than that. The testimony that Jesus Christ gave about the Word of God that was coming out of his mouth, Jesus said, I'm not judging you, but the words that I speak will judge you. That's set in stone, church. That's a guarantee. So God said, my word will do what I send it out to do. It'll either condemn you because you reject it, or you can receive eternal life from believing what he has to say about his son, Jesus Christ. You can escape the judgment. You can cross over from death into life. It's your choice. It's my choice. The whole choice is before the world. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her by washing of water with the word. Boy, there it is again. God said, my word will accomplish what I sent it out to do. Paul said, Jesus Christ loved the church and died for her, and he's washed her with the word. What Jesus say in John 17? Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, set them apart for a holy purpose. Set them apart as holy with the truth. Your word's truth. God intends that his word, if we allow it to, will teach us good from evil, right from wrong, and mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, which is his ultimate goal for everybody in this room. He wants us to be all little Jesus running around. Now, I'm not divine, but he wants me to be like Jesus. Jesus said it's enough for the servant to be like his master. That's his goal. God takes you just as you are, but he has no intention of leaving you that way. That's weak preaching, church. He has every intention of molding us into the image of his son. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is the part I want you to hear. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So here we see that Paul enjoins the two. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. All right, I'm closing. When Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, the scriptures say that there were 3,000 people convicted. There were a lot of people at the day of Pentecost. It was one of the major feasts. 3,000 people out of that whole crowd. Peter, through the Holy Spirit, preached about the prophet Joel. This is God's promise. This is what he's done today. He preached about the fact that you murdered the Christ. Peter didn't pull any punches. I should say the Holy Spirit didn't, because he was preaching through the Spirit, and he said, you murdered him. But God raised him from the dead. 3,000 people, it said, they were cut to their heart. That's King James for convicted. They were convicted. They were convinced of the truth of the matter. And they said, what do we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. There it is. A most gracious offer. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. While we were his enemies, Christ died for us. So don't say, you don't know what I've done. He knows exactly what you've done. And he's offering today. He's saying, come, I'll pardon you. I'll throw your iniquities behind my back. I'll give you a new life. Clean slate, you can start all over again. Or if you're here today and you're struggling and you say, I've already made this commitment to Christ, I've been following Christ, but I'm away from Christ and I'm wanting to come back, come back. Don't say I'm going to go home and think about this. Come back. Am I asking you to come forward? No. You can take care of it right where you're at, but settle it. God said, turn to me. I'll forgive you. And God's not a man that he should lie. Church, we as a church have an obligation to our Lord to share this with the world. We don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about judgment. That irritates people. They might leave the church. Let them leave. I'm not trying to be hard. Just let them go. If they don't want to hear it, you can't force them to stay here and hear it. But don't dummy it down either. We talk about the love of God. This is God's love. God said there's terrible times coming, but I want to save you. Would you stand with me this morning? If you feel that you want to talk after this, I'll hang around. I'll be glad to visit with you. If you feel you need to talk to the Lord, then by all means, talk to the Lord. But don't walk out of here today thinking tomorrow, maybe next Sunday, you may not have it. And I'm just being a realist. You may not have that chance.